good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View for Monday evening, May 14th, 2012. Boy, this year seems to be going quickly. Here I am again. I'm here. This is a pre-recorded interview for this evening, but I'm here every Monday evening on bbsradio.com, station 2, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. So, yes, I'm your host, PK, and I always like to thank the suits in the office at bbsradio.com for continuing to support free speech and a free press, and hopefully the Western tradition of free inquiry, which means not being afraid to ask honest questions objectively and intellectually, and ask the questions and try to find solutions and answers. So, and also thank goodness for the internet and alternative media, because we are not faced with the usual censorship or opinion cartel or manipulating the truth and the facts as the corporate Zionist pro-Israel news media always does. In fact, there's just a clip on I think C-SPAN. And the host, not Brian Lamb, he's one of the good guys, read off a little clip about something. If you want to vote for someone who doesn't flip-flop and, you know, please support Mitt Romney. And it shows you the print on the screen, but it actually says Ron Paul. And those clowns, it actually read Mitt Romney instead of Ron Paul. So the lies and the deception just go on. But Ron Paul continues to get a lot of delegate votes, and I hope that he causes a good stir in August at the GOP convention, because I think that he can make some demands, speaking demands or whatnot, because he has so many delegates. And I'd like to see a brokered convention, because Romney is such a pathetic, stuffed shirt, oily, used car salesman. No disrespect to used car salesman, but this clown is a problem, and I don't see it getting any better. He serves the banks, Wall Street, the military-industrial complex, the all-powerful Israeli lobby, and Romney is, of course, he's quite the flip-flopper, and he doesn't care to, you know, he's pro-war, he's pro-drug war, so that is what we're faced with, just another corporate socialist. You know, I'm not down on his wealth per se, although I'm sure a lot of it came through tax subsidies. And, you know, he's not a real free enterpriser. And as I like to say, Romney's father was a much better man. I've also just noticed that the state of New Jersey has apparently banned texting while walking. What kind of BS is that? I know, I understand about we shouldn't text when we drive. The only time I text when I'm quote-unquote driving is if I'm at a stoplight and I'm waiting and there's cars in front of me or whatever, but I don't text. I think it's a bad thing to do. I don't do it, and I don't think others do it, but do we need more laws and to not be able to walk and, you know, text at the same time? What, we don't have the coordination, or we're gonna put our car off the road if we're walking and texting? You know, let people deal with their own consequences, which there should be few in that situation. So I'm trying to get a guest on. He's not answering his phone too well. He's rather elusive. Maybe he's got him now. I'm hearing from the suits. I see the pen. Okay. All right, well, thank you for that. There in the office. Actually, I gave him the wrong name. His actual name is Dean. So Dean and I, this friend of mine, Dean, we're going to talk today about the sacred herb, otherwise known as ganja or marijuana or pot or reefer. Smoke. What else do I call it? I said ganja. My favorite, the sacred herb. And it's very medicinal, by the way. So if he ever answers his phone, we were going to talk about this. He's an old friend of mine. He's kind of elusive, doesn't always answer his phone or return calls promptly. You know the type. But he has knowledge about the topic that I want to speak about today, and he's kind of clued into it. But he's not. He knows about the marijuana industry, although he is not a user. He does not consume it. So we're trying to see what's going on. So now they got an answering machine. Well, my friend knows we're supposed to call him. So I want my millions of listeners to know that this is not an inefficiency on my part. So hopefully he will soon answer his phone to continue our topic tonight, which is going to be marijuana prohibition and the industry, and also what's going on in California with the industry and the growers and the medicinal marijuana dispensaries that are being harassed by the feds and this sort of thing that's going on out there, even though Attorney General Eric Holder had said early on in the Obama disaster that he's going to back off the marijuana arrests and the harassment by the feds, but it still continues. If I was the sheriff of any of these areas where this sort of thing is going on, where these damn feds come in and raid, I would have them arrested and put in jail, and I would confront the federal government, telling them to get the hell out and force a big deal on it. And I'd tell my governor of my state that he better have the balls to back me up too, because all politics is local, all crime is local, all pollution is local, and we're not going to tolerate these federal fascists coming into our areas and trying to uproot the will of the people who have clearly voted for the things that they approve of. And this whole country keeps talking, I mean, the government keeps telling us how we need to spend all this money and have all this money on defense and more guns and weapons and tanks and all this stuff so we don't have to fight them over here. Fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. Meanwhile, this country is getting so much less free from within. Our individual rights continue to be shattered. We're losing more of our rights, including property rights. And a lot of the sheeple just go along with it because Americans are so many are so ignorant of what's going on. And you don't realize how ignorant so many Americans are until you leave the country and you look at it and you see things differently and you have conversations with intelligent, enlightened people from Europe, Asia, South America. You really get an insight. And this is, I'm not being arrogant towards Americans, but too many Americans are resting on their laurels. I mean, history and geography are the lost subject in this country. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that people just keep putting up with all this. Meanwhile, government power at all levels continues to grow, state, local, federal. I mean, how much more are people going to put up with? You know, I see a possible, I've said this before, I see a civil war between the haves and the have-nots. I see the possibility of food riots. You know, it seems like the globalist New World Order is really on the march, even at a higher pace than they have been before, enacting more laws and legislation. And they never want to keep us informed about it. They do it stealthily. Then they have their schmoozers like Obama try to deliver it. Obama, as I've said before, is the black, quote-unquote, Bush. He's Bush 3 with a makeover on steroids, a smooth-talking lawyer who remains clueless about economics, economic history, and political economy. Now, I don't dwell on my dislike for Obama like the neocons and the Republicans and conservatives do, you know. Yes, he's a problem, but the state in general is the problem. That's why I recommend Lou Rockwell's book, The Left, the Right, and the State. Because while they might dislike each other, they both approve of state power and growing state power as long as they're in power, their party's in power. So back to Obama. He gets away schmoozing people with his smoothness, smooth-talking lawyer, and still doing these repressive anti-constitutional things that Bush did, in the first place. So, you know, he's just another version of it, only he's delivering a dung sandwich, you know, in French bread instead of Wonder Bread. So that's how I look at it. And, of course, that's what's really going on. The fact that he signed that Military Detention Act is just awful. And yet his crowd gives him a pass. You know, so... it just continues to go on, and I've asked Democrats about this, and Obama supporters, and they have really weak, lame ass reasoning for supporting him. They're just going to do it because they think he's, you know, the lesser of two evils. Well, you know, the lesser of two evils is still evil. Romney is awful, and is he the best this country can do? You know, and as I like to say, Romney's father was a better man. But again, Romney's pro-war. He's pretty much the same things. I've seen some interesting Ron Paul information where it compares Obama to Romney, and it's pretty much the same. You know, and Romney's flip-flops are just too much. He does these intense, you've heard some of his intense speeches about a woman's right and on guns, and then he reverses himself. It's so obvious. I don't respect him, and I don't like him. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I don't like him. I don't trust him. He's very tight with the Israeli lobby and Netanyahu. Israel, of course, and Zionism being one of the biggest problems we have today ever since 1948, what's been going on. So this whole Romney thing, like I like to say, is he the best this country can do? And I'm not down on his massive wealth per se. I think he's worth $200 million plus. I'm not down on that per se. I don't think he's that bright. He doesn't know economics. His knowledge of world history and geography is not all that great. He's not a free marketeer. He's not a free market economist like Ron Paul is. Because when you have a deep understanding of free market economics, you have an overview of the world and how the world works or should work. Or could work, but it does give you a overview of things. And it sounds like my friend Dean is finally there. Dean, are you there?
I'm here.
Wow, we finally got through to His Highness.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to Third Stream View. Would you like some tea or coffee?
How about some tea?
Well, help yourself. It's self-service.
Okay.
So, thanks for coming on the show to talk to the mighty PK here.
Yeah. Now, is that PK or TK?
P is in Paul. K is in kinetic energy.
Okay. PK. All right. Well, PK, nice to meet you.
Thank you for coming on. And how's the weather out there today?
The weather is nice, typical California weather for this time of year, partly cloudy, maybe a little bit of breeze, but generally pretty pleasant.
What is it, about the 70s?
Now on the coast where I'm at, it is about 68 degrees. In inland, it will be probably in the high 70s.
Nice. Now, regardless if you live on the coast or central Florida or California or inland more, what should the general temperature be of a greenhouse for the sacred herb?
Well, in my opinion, from everything I've learned and researched, 72 degrees is the magic number. Now, that can vary. Also, in recent time, people have been having a lot of success with cooler temperatures, maybe in the mid-60s, 65 degrees. So apparently, it doesn't hurt to go a little cooler. I would not recommend going any warmer than that because you are inviting problems.
Any warmer than 72?
Any warmer than 72. Now, I say historically 72 has been the magic number and it's worked really well, But there can be some benefits from going with cooler temperatures. Now, in some areas, that's very difficult to do. I'm sure in your area, it's probably really difficult to get it down below 72 in your room.
It's probably more expensive too to do it that way, unless you have a separate room unit or something. But I could see the benefits where it might be better to have it a little bit cooler. It is a pretty hardy plant, and in the hemp family, the hemp plant itself, the commercial use one that doesn't really have a high THC at all, it's quite a sturdy plant.
Yes, absolutely. And what seems to happen is the plant reacts like a human being does. When the temperature is cooler, you want to huddle your limbs together to create warmth. So you're creating a tighter, shall I say, bud or product. Whereas when it's warm, you want to basically expand your limbs and to cool yourself off. And see, that's what you don't want. You don't want your plants to stretch. And that's what you get with heat, with higher temperatures. So you're definitely better off to go cooler than warmer is definitely the better way to go.
So do the growers then, especially the indoor growers, do they strive to have some equipment that keeps it not going above 72?
Yes, you do. AC units are very common. Now here on the Central Coast, it's not really such a big problem. But inland and in other states especially, AC units are a must, and they can be quite costly to run.
Is it does it clue anybody into the growers or as far as harassment from the cops or the feds?
It can raise some suspicions, depending on how you have things set up. It's what I recommend is just be very sanitary, be very clean, be very don't have things that look shady, like you threw it up there in an hour. I mean, make sure that the wiring is all clean, and if you got an AC unit sticking out of your grow room, make sure that it's in there very proportionally, and like someone did a professional job on it. Because the hack job is what raises suspicion. That's what opens the eyes of people that could cause you problems.
Well, don't they make those, I think you can buy them at, I don't know if you can buy them at Home Depot or whatever. Don't they make these things now? They're kind of tall and they rotate and they're like a cooler. Some are heat and AC, for like an individual room.
They're making a lot of products now, and a lot of the hydroponic stores and some of the wholesalers and dealers will sell AC units that are freestanding that you don't have to mount in the walls, and they do a nice job.
I was curious about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of products on the market, and they can be a little costly, and they're a little heavy, some of them, and a little difficult to move around, but all in all, that might be a better bet in some areas that are might be raising some suspicions. So that's not a bad way to go.
I was curious about that. And I always kind of shied away from hydroponic stores because I would guess that they're under surveillance or harassed or, observed. Maybe that cops write down license plate numbers,
That's what one would think, but here in California, you're pretty safe because, when you go into a hydroponic store, I mean, hey, you might be growing tomatoes, I mean, there's certainly if you're under suspicion anyway, yeah, that might be something to consider. But for the average grower, it isn't really that big of an issue here in California. I think the issues are more lying on the owners of the hydroponic stores, tax reasons. I mean, basically, California wants their money. They want their piece of the pie. That's really what they want. They're not after the individual grower that has 20 plants. That's not really what they care about, especially if you're licensed and you go about it legally.
Well, that's good because, the powers that be, that prick Eric Holder and the Obama administration, they said that they were going to back off harassing the clinics, the marijuana dispensaries, and
yeah,
they've lied about that too, because they have stepped up some of that. And as I said earlier in my show, if I was the sheriff in those areas, I would arrest any of those damn federal bureaucrats or DEA or any of those bastards who came and raided any shops in my jurisdiction. I'd throw them in jail immediately, and I would contest, you know, I would stand up to the federal government and the governor of my own state if he didn't back me up.
Yeah, well, I can say here to that. Yeah, I wish you were in power, because we could use a man like you.
Yeah, so absolutely. Could the world. So could the
yeah.
world. Yeah, power is a scary thing, but my personal power would be greatly kept in check by the Secession Solution Constitution that I have written and that I would commit myself to. And I would let the people and the masses and those around me know that if I ever greatly deviated from that, it would be because most likely I would be drugged or harassed or something by the CIA, who has their tentacles and everything. Media, the universities, they overthrow foreign governments. They do so many things, the CIA, that have nothing to do with just, you know, peaceful gathering of intelligence and keeping us aware of what's going on. They instigate things. They orchestrate things.
Absolutely. Well, PK, that's very noble of you.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm a noble person. But not yeah. over nobility. I'm noble because I say I am, and I would, if I held the reins, I would use them honestly and fairly, as I have no desire to rule and regulate other people, both at home and abroad. Only violent criminals get the hammer put down on them, but pretty much everybody else is left alone. And heck, if somebody steals a car and you get caught, I'd rather see your punishment built on restitution than jail and prison, because your own state, these damn prison industrial complex, especially strong in your state, the prison guards and that whole prison lobby, they've lobbied for those stupid three-knock laws, which some yeah. of them aren't even violent criminals. And consequently, you got a huge prison complex. These guards are highly paid. And then towards the end of their careers, they kick in more overtime. They milk the system. So, you know, these government employee unions, they're a big problem. I'm pro-employee, but I'm proud to say that I am anti-union.
Okay, well, that's pretty interesting.
Because I am an interesting person. Now, back to this, the sacred herb, as I like to call it, the sacred herb
yes.
industry. It's a multi-billion
yes.
dollar industry for California, is it not?
It is, indeed it is.
What's hurting you
yes.
is that you need more markets out of your state. However, with the introduction of re-legalization or ending drug prohibition, you're going to have competition from other states. But I think California would still hold its own quality-wise.
I agree 100%. I think California will always prevail when it comes to the sacred herb. And, yes, I agree we do need to create new marketplaces, because as you well know, the market has pretty much dissolved here in California, and they call it the green rush just like they called it the gold rush, you know, back in the day. And it's a very similar thing. People from all over the country have moved here and you know, are trying to take a shot at growing the sacred herb and making some money, and you can do it legally in California. But the market is just flooded now, and that creates a little bit of a problem. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Well, and by the way, the more you agree with me, the more intelligent you are and or become. Now, however, you spoke about the gold rush, and as the to paraphrase the great economist Ludwig von Mises, who is our mentor of the Ron Paul movement and Ron Paul, who said only government could take a valuable commodity like paper, slap some ink on it, and make it worthless. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What?
Well, it means that only our government could destroy that, basically.
Yeah, well, what are they destroying? You take a valuable commodity like paper, slap some ink on it, and make it worthless. Do you know specifically what Mises was referring to?
Well, yeah, it's just what I said. Well, why don't you tell me?
Because you're wrong. You're wrong.
Because I'm wrong. Okay.
He was referring to paper money.
Right. Yes.
A valuable commodity like paper, slap some ink on it and make it practically worthless, you know, through inflation. Now, the corollary to that is only government could take a very, very inexpensive, dirt cheap weed, make it illegal, and make it then worth its weight in gold, almost.
Right.
Although gold has greatly increased in value. Gold, however, was made illegal by that son of a bitch FDR. From 1933 to 1975, it was illegal to own gold bullion or gold coins for fear of $10,000 fine and or 10 years imprisonment. And Ron Paul helped get that overturned. A lot of people don't know that, but Roosevelt confiscated everybody's gold in the Emergency Monetary Credit Act of 33, I believe, shortly after election. They went with you to your safety deposit box, and you had to turn in all your gold.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Well, speaking with the great PK, you will become aware of many things, because unlike most Americans, I actually know world geography and world history.
Wow, that means you know where you're located right now.
Not only that, I know where you're located are, and I can tell you where most places – I know geography is a lot deeper than just cities and countries and stuff, but I have a pretty deep knowledge of geography worldwide, which really helps when you look at the whole picture, you know.
That's fantastic. So, okay. So that means I could probably put this phone call on my resume at some point in my life.
That's very true. That's very true. But since you're kind of self-employed, you don't need a resume. You know.
Oh, okay.
So back to the sacred herb. Now,
how have they
got the THC content to become so much higher? How is that done?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it was a question that didn't make sense to me. So let's go back to the outdoor growing for a minute, because in theory, you would think that outdoor growing is going to give you the highest THC content because you're using the sun for your lumens, and nothing is more powerful than the sun, as we all know. And outdoor conditions can be very good. But a simple example is the weather and changing weather conditions. So, for example...
Sorry, I couldn't hear that. You were breaking up. What?
Okay. For an example, let's use outdoor growing for a second.
Right.
And you've got great conditions with the weather temperature in a certain area, and the lumens from the sun are the most powerful, obviously. But
right.
let's say then you hit a bad storm. You hit a bad storm, and the plants get beaten by wind, by rain. Now, that's all. THC can be very, very compromised by things like that. So, in other words, the water hitting it, the rain, the wind, it can really cut your THC levels down. Also, the inconsistency, let's say you get a week and a half of cloudy days. You know, so the plant goes dormant at that time. A plant's a lot more like a person than we think. And the plant just kind of shuts down and quits growing and says, okay, I'm just going to huddle here in the cold and survive. Well, you've kind of gone backwards a few steps. Now, with indoor growing, when you completely control your climate, even though our lumens are not as powerful as the sun, but with controlled climate, you can get those higher THC levels. And some now exceeding, gosh, from what I'm hearing, even 25%, which compared to the herb that maybe you were using back in the day of maybe 9%. 10%, 7%, some as low as 7%.
What is it now again? What is it now?
Well, on an average, I'd say the average is probably maybe 14-15%, but it's not uncommon to see 18% and even as high as 25%.
What are your friends at now?
Some of my friends are around 18%, and that's plenty potent.
Now, I wondered if the more potent THC came from, notwithstanding your point about outdoor versus indoor growing, I thought that came from hybrid, like mixing different seeds or different strengths. But apparently the higher THC comes from careful indoor growing and nurturing. Am I correct about this?
Yes, you're correct about that, but it isn't just any one thing. It is the strains and the hybrids and the combining certain strains that work. I mean, there's a complete world of science to it. So right. Yeah, those are factors as well. It's kind of like building a healthy body in a human being. It isn't one thing that you eat or one exercise that you do. You know, it's the whole regimen. So there are many things that control the THC level, and it's basically just nurturing the whole plant. I mean, it's very tedious growing. You have to be a very, very detail-oriented type of person to be a successful grower, I believe.
So that leaves you out.
Yeah. Well, I had to make some changes in some of my behaviors in order to become a good grower.
Well, good for you. Maybe you'll grow up someday.
Possibly, yes.
Thank you. I just wrote that.
Don't kid yourself either about it being easy, because there have been a lot of people that have moved to California thinking that it's easy to grow the sacred herb. It is not easy.
I wonder why they would make the move. If they're going to grow indoors anyway, why not do it in another state with less hassle?
Well, they don't have our laws. I mean, you can grow legally in California if you go through the proper channels, as you know. And that's a huge deal. To be honest with you, I don't think I would have done it in a state that it was not legal to grow.
I get it. But even in California, it's kind of iffy. The laws are subject to change, subject to federal intervention. Plus, you've attracted more growers. Okay, so it would seem like the supply overcomes the demand. So you need out-of-state markets, basically.
Yeah, that's true. And as you know, that's where they draw the line. And that's kind of the catch-22. So you could grow till your heart's content here in your legal parameters, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to, let's say, have a market for it. And there's not much we can do to control that.
Yeah, that's too bad, because the market is everything. And as Mises tells us, by the way, for me it's Mises, not Jesus.
Okay.
Mises said, and this is something you should write into your brain, and these are things I didn't learn in economics or business in school, is that the market is not a thing or a person. The market is a continuous discovery process. That's what the market is. And the free market, the black market, now, he didn't say this, but this is just libertarian logic and ethics. The black market is the free market driven underground by government regulation.
Okay.
And one of my favorite libertarian sayings is that smugglers are courageous freedom fighters in the war for capitalist acts between consenting adults. So your California growing industry must be, I'm guessing, I know it's in the billions. Is it like $3-4 billion a year, do you think?
I would say it's exceeded that.
I've heard it's one of the biggest or the second largest cash crop in California.
Last I heard, it was the biggest cash crop in California.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty big. It's pretty big.
The population is only so big of California. I know it's the most populous state, but nevertheless, it's only so big. You're in very bad economic times. There's a lot of unemployment. There's a lot of people who can't make do. So, you know, they're going to sort of cut out of their budget what they can't afford the most, and that would be probably the sacred herb or finding cheaper sources of it.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, but...
Of course it is. I made it.
Well, okay, but you have to think of something. Go back to Prohibition days. How many people quit drinking because it was illegal? How many people quit drinking because the economy was bad? People still couldn't live without their alcohol. And that's why it didn't work. So, well, a lot of people still use their herbs. They still use their medicine. They will still find ways to cut corners in other aspects of their lives so they can afford their herbs.
I get that. However, Prohibition lasted from 1919 to 1933. Now, the Depression eras of that was from 29 to 33. The 20s, the Roaring 20s, were rather prosperous times in America. Of course, the Federal Reserve was churning out more money, lower interest rates, which led to the Great Depression. But the 20s, people were pretty well off. And no, they didn't stop drinking because that was more of a universal thing. There are still some hang-ups about the sacred herb, marijuana, for those of you listening who don't know what we're referring to. But that's a little different situation. But anyway, we're back to this. You need markets. You need markets more for your overproduction of goods.
Right, right. But just to comment on your point, I don't see that much of a decline in use because the economy's bad. I really don't. I see that. I'm very surprised at how important it is to many people. And let me just say this. I believe, this is a very strong statement, I believe that the sacred herb is more of a medicinal use than a recreational use.
You mean it has more benefit as a medicinal use?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I believe. As a recreational use.
That's what you believe. It may or may not be scientific, yet I believe in subjective value, which means that individuals choose. They put their valuation on what they want. So, you may or may not be correct, but it is certainly medicinal. And then, of course, the hemp plant itself, if you happen to know the history of that, which I, of course, have known for over 25 years, is that the hemp plant is great for, you could make paper out of it, lumber type products, if you will. Many things, and hemp prohibition causes us to use other products that aren't as safe necessarily. And, the powers that be, and even back to William Randolph Hearst, they didn't want hemp legalized because, he owned forests he got his wood tree pulp from for his thing. So, yes, the hemp plant has been around since man, thousands of years, and it's very beneficial to
Absolutely.
The country. And only Ron Paul... Well, Ron Paul knows this information, but only Ron Paul would not persecute it. And he's a medical doctor. He doesn't really approve of it, but he wouldn't deny it to cancer patients or, other people. It has chemicals in it, whatnot. Michael Savage, whom I listen to on the radio sometimes, a raving neocon from San Francisco, who has a biology background, he claims that it has some worse things in it than tobacco. I don't know, but I don't know of anybody dying from – no one's ever died from marijuana. Now, I don't know – if marijuana has ever given anybody lung cancer. I know it may contribute to COPD, but I don't know about the lung cancer issue.
Well, they have linked some cases to cannabis, but for the most part, it's a very small statistic. It's a very small number that they have linked to it. And now what's really popular, I don't know if you were really aware of this, but the concentrates are what's hugely popular in California here. Now, when I say the concentrates, you're talking about a concentrated version of the cannabis. And the THC levels are much higher, and people are using vaporizers to ingest their medicine as opposed to lighting up. You don't get the carcinogens of
the smoke.
Yes, I'm trying to be very, very politically correct here with my language, and it's very difficult.
Why? But yeah, Why? You're on my show. There is no political correctness here.
Are you sure?
I don't use the word anyway, but we wouldn't use the N-word on this show. If it was talking about something, we would say so-and-so said nigger. We're not going to use the N-word. We're going to talk about what it is.
There's
no PC here. Speak your mind, kid. Go on.
Okay, so a lot of people are vaporizing this stuff, and they're using vaporizers, and it basically, you don't get the smoke matter material in your lungs, and it's a much healthier way to go, and there's really very, very small side effects as far as health problems coming from that. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's getting more and more beneficial and less harmful, is what I'm seeing.
Well, how exactly does I don't own one. I've never tried one. How exactly does a vaporizer work? Is there no smoke, or it takes out certain elements of the smoke? How does it work?
Well, now you know, PK, that I am not a consumer of.
That's right. I told my audience that before you came on.
Tell your audience that, which is very interesting. So yeah, it's like you're getting information from someone that doesn't use the product, but
you know about
the
it.
Way, well, yeah, of course I know about it. The vaporizer works. It is a bag, like a plastic bag, so it serves as kind of like a balloon. So all the smoke matter materials are evaporated, and basically what you're getting is just the benefit of the product. It's hard to explain it. I could show you easier than I could explain it to you. But
do you happen to know what those vaporizers are going for?
Imagine like a balloon, like a plastic balloon, like made out of a plastic bag, and that's what you're getting. I think that you can get a pretty decent vaporizer for around $100 to $150.
Like at the
in
head
California
shops?
Now. Yeah.
See, I don't even want to order it online or through, you know, any of the, like the High Times magazine sources. It just seems like to me they'll trace that stuff more easily. I don't trust the government at all.
Right. Well, I know in your state that's a little more of a concern. In California, it isn't quite as big a concern. Now, I hope me saying this doesn't make the rest of the country want to move here, because we're crowded enough here in California.
Well, and your economy's in the toilet, and I think it's going to get worse.
Our economy is in the toilet. You're absolutely right.
And I think it's going to get worse. And, you know, like a lot of Republicans and conservatives, they say, well, that's because liberals have been running the state for so long. But you know, as I said before, I've told you before, Arnold became Gray Davis, the same person he wanted to replace because of his spending and bad finances. Arnold became the same person. Why should he care? He's already a multimillionaire. Who cares if he doesn't get reelected?
Well, isn't that politics in general, PK?
Yeah, but that's, that's true.
They're all rich. They don't care about us.
I'm a Ron Paul Republican. I don't care about that. I don't care about I wouldn't care about being reelected or, you know, increasing the military budget. I want to do what's right for the country, because I don't care about being reelected. I believe in term limits. And, you know, for me, I don't have that power trip thing. I would like to be a reverse dictator, where you deregulate the economy and do away with all this unnecessary legislation. This country is strangled in legislation, and you have a whole heavy-duty, lawyer-infested, bureaucratic, regulatory state. And it's got its tentacles in everything.
I agree, yeah.
And cops are just the stooges for lawyers and legislatures enforcing stupid laws that a lot of cops know shouldn't exist in the first place. But there is a ray of hope, because there are some police organizations now that are opposed to the drug war. And, you know, they're speaking out. Some have former cops, former customs agents and whatnot. So there is a raising of the consciousness. I can't do it all, but I try to do what I can.
Okay, well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, I want to get your take, okay? You're talking about drugs in general. Now, how does cannabis or the sacred herb rate when you're talking about drugs? Because we're that's a very, very broad word.
Well, I don't drink. I never have cared for it, don't like it, been around alcoholism, did not grow up around alcoholism, but I've been around a lot of it since then. So, you know, I don't like it. I much prefer the sacred herb. I am totally down on all hard drugs, but our lives would be all much better off if they re-legalized all hard drugs for adults. Yes, you'd have people ingesting it and dying, but that would taper off. And there would be more of an emphasis on soft drugs. I learned by reading Ron Paul 24 years ago, his essay, The Case for Drug Relegalization, that prohibition leans towards harder drugs. While in the legal market, you have low nicotine, you know, low salt, no fat, low fat, So in the illegal market, you go from cocaine to freebasing to crack, you know, to crystal meth, all these other hard drugs that come into fruition as a result of prohibition. And it's in a pusher's interest to get anybody hooked or become one of their customers, regardless of if they're children or adults. So if we re-legalized all drugs for adults, you would have the pharmaceutical companies manufacturing these, what are still awful drugs, but they'd be void right. of impurities, and they would have dosage recommendations on, and those adults who want to use this junk could still use it, but we would emphasize education, prevention, treatment, rehabilitation, all under a compassionate mentality, not prison, not a stupid drug war. We'd all be all much safer, and children would be much safer because they wouldn't be shot in the crossfire or damaged from stupid side effects of the drug war, which is a colossal, probably trillion-dollar failure since Nixon really kicked it in, I believe it was 1969.
Well, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting take on it, PK. I just can't see – I see both sides, though. I mean, now, how about the 19-year-old that his girlfriend leaves him, he catches her in bed with his best friend, he goes to the drugstore, grabs a needle, and shoots heroin in his arm.
So what? He can get drunk and do that right now. Are you and your family and your mother and father, or let's say your grandparents were still with us, would they go out tomorrow and buy heroin or use cocaine if it was legal? No, they wouldn't. Multiply your immediate family who has those values. Multiply that by millions. That's how it is. People aren't going to go out and use it. I might enjoy the sacred herb, but the hell with heroin and cocaine.
Yeah. No, I'm not opposing what you're saying. I'm just listening to it subjectively.
Hey, I'd even do
actually,
it.
Go ahead.
I would even do this as a better way. Whoever, if I was in charge, you know, if my cops or if cops confiscate hard drugs, for example, in my world, marijuana, hashish, and mushrooms, hands off. But if they confiscated heroin, cocaine, you know, meth, just destroy it and let the sellers go. You're not filling up the prisons. You're still saving a lot of the legal process. Just destroy that crap. Confiscate it and destroy it. That would still be better.
Well, that's interesting. And I wanted to bring up another subject on the world of drugs. Have you heard of a drug called Crocodile?
Is it a pharmaceutical?
Yes and no. What it is, it came out of Eastern Europe, Russia, actually, and I just learned about it about a week ago. What they're doing is, you know, the economy is very bad in Russia, and there are a lot of poor people. Apparently they're buying up all kinds of codeine at pharmacies, and apparently there's no limit to the quantity of codeine you can get. Now, I don't know if you need a prescription or not, I'm taking it that you actually don't. So they're buying up a bunch of codeine, and they're extracting the properties out of it and making a synthetic heroin. And they're shooting this stuff. And apparently, from what I learned, your skin basically falls off you, and it's just horrible. And within, I think they're saying 2 years max, you're dead.
Wouldn't it be okay if you had bad acne?
There you go.
Thank you.
I saw some pictures of this that were just horrific.
See what prohibition leads to? I'm surprised they need synthetic in Russia because they're not far from Afghanistan and opium production's at an all-time high thanks to the U.S. and British troops guarding the opium fields, the poppy fields.
Well, I don't think they could afford it, PK. I think that's the issue, that we're talking poor people. You know, it's making a very – like they're saying it's the cheapest drug going right now, but how horrible, And I saw pictures of like young kids. They didn't even look like they were 18 years old, you know, just laying in a hospital bed somewhere with their skin falling off.
Well, that's awful. But again, it just reinforces my point about prohibition leads to harder drugs. And, this whole situation is only made worse by prohibition. You'll hear about in the future, you'll hear about other hard drugs, you know, besides crystal meth. Other things will come into fruition. And it can't be any other way, because that's how it works. It always brings these other drugs into existence. So, and you know, it hurts poor people and lower income people a lot. Man has always sought to change his consciousness. Drugs will always be here, but you know, actually, pharmaceuticals are much more dangerous. Many more people die from pharmaceuticals. You got this massive pharmaceutical industry supported by both parties. So, yeah. You know, that's an even scarier thing. I don't use pharmaceuticals only as an absolute last resort. For example, when I had cataract surgery or colonoscopy, and I take things in advance afterwards, or pain medicine, I'll use them for that. But you watch the TV shows, they'll show you these stupid drugs that you know, ask your doctor, and then they'll rattle off the side effects. It's awful, the side effects.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. So where do you see the future for the growers going in California? What is the immediate future, do you think, on the horizon?
Well, I think it's going to go recreational. I think that's just a given. It's just a matter of time. It's going to go recreational. It's going to go legal. For the growers, you know, I think the good growers will prevail. You know, it's just like you can go to the store and buy a six pack of Budweiser, or you can buy the micro brew that's of a better quality and pay more money. You know, I think the good growers are going to prevail, and I think the good growers are going to have a place in the market. I really do. It's going to cut a lot of the, let's say, hobby growers out, because they're just not going to be able to afford to even do it anymore to compete, you know, which is not a bad thing. And I think it's just going to just make more room for the real serious people. Now, do I want it to happen now? Particularly not, but it's going to happen, and it's one of those things there's really nothing I can do to change it. So it's almost like, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. Find a way you can do it legally.
You can change it.
You can
change it if you and the damn growers get on the side of the amendments that are for it. Because I know the growers and the church opposed that amendment, I think it was 2 years ago, and it didn't pass. It should have passed. At that time, you were more, you know, against it. But I love the irony of it, the growers are opposed to it. But, you know, nothing is stronger, no army is stronger than an idea whose time has finally come. My only concern I voiced several years ago, brilliantly, of course, because I thought of it, was that, will the growers turn into like the other farmers of other products, who will then, because of falling prices, expect price supports for the sacred herb as growers? Are they going to expect price supports and subsidies for government because their price has fallen? Let's hope not.
I don't think so. I think that's going a little bit too far. But no, it's very interesting also that the more serious growers I talk to are not as scared of this issue as the hobby growers or the recreational growers. The serious growers seem to have that attitude. They're saying, well, you know, there's it's going to happen. It's bound to happen. It's just a matter of time. And when it does, I'm a good grower and I will prevail.
They should speed up the process. Speed up the process by supporting it. However, in the future, what would happen with the end of hemp drug or hemp prohibition is that all the other states are going to have growers that join in. So it's going to be very competitive, and I would think the price is greatly going to fall, but there'll be different strains, so lower income people can afford, you know, the less expensive variety of it.
Yeah, that's true. With the prediction that I've gotten is when it does go recreational, there's going to be a huge increase for a short period of time. So basically, it's in layman's terms, every 18-year-old is going to want to go and get high legally. And so they expect a huge push, a huge increase, and then just a plummet in price. And that's pretty much the consensus. Yeah.
And then the price the price will sort of level off a bit.
Yeah, the price will level off a bit, exactly. But I think that the good growers will prevail, and I think that the serious growers will find a place. They'll find a place in the market. I really do.
Well, yeah, they will. But in a broadly expanded market with all 50 states, you know, California will reign supreme at first, but, you know, Florida, other states, they'll be nipping at their heels for, you know, competition. But that's all good because as a consumer, when's the last time you ever complained about paying lower prices?
In California?
Anywhere. Lower prices in general, anywhere. When's the last time you complained about paying lower prices? Would you complain about paying a lower gas price?
No, I don't think so.
Would you complain about a lower electric bill?
No.
I would not complain about lower marijuana prices as a consumer.
Right. Well, and I can understand that. As a grower, I take a little different stand on it because I'm not a consumer. So I see
PK. Everybody's a consumer. You're not a consumer of the sacred herb, but you are a consumer. If you don't consume, you die.
Yes, exactly. But can you see my point on that?
Well, I can see the growers' point. They're a special interest group. I can see the corn growers. The corn industry is awful. It's subsidized, and it produces this awful disaster of ethanol and high fructose corn syrup. Ugh.
Yeah, good stuff. Otherwise known as rat poison.
Yeah. So, you know, stuff I don't use, but this whole drug war thing is been with us the majority of our lives, and it's just made it worse. And, you know, during Prohibition, the suppliers, they didn't really want Prohibition to go away. Of course, they owned more of the cops then, and the judges, which actually was a good thing. Buy them off, they won't hassle you as much. Again, I'm very against hard drugs. But I say hands off of the sacred herb, hashish, and mushrooms. And if the Indians want to use peyote, God bless them. Let them use their peyote.
Well, I've learned a lot about sacred herb, as you call it. And as you know, I'm not a consumer. But from what I see, I've never seen anyone get stoned and want to go out and hurt someone. I've never seen anyone get stoned and want to go beat somebody up.
Muscles. It doesn't work that way. However, if you combine it with alcohol, that's a bad thing. Now,
that's a bad combination. That is.
I still say that most people can even drive while they're stoned. But if you add alcohol, that's a whole other problem. And, you know, I've driven stoned, but not drunk. And, you know, drinking is a whole, that throws your motor skills off. That's everything. Drunks are sloppy idiots. Potheads don't behave like that. Hey, man, you got some potato chips? That's about it. They're not going to puke on you. They're not going to start a fight. And as I like to say, the sacred herb does enhance an orgasm.
Well, that I haven't experienced yet. Now, not an orgasm, but an orgasm on a sacred herb.
I'll just
have to take your word for that. Okay?
In fact, do you know how to tell when a woman's had an orgasm?
No.
I didn't think so. Thank you very much. Well, listen, young man, Dean, I appreciate you coming on the show. I've had a good time chatting with you. I hope you come back and enlighten us further about the sacred herb and the mechanics of it all with what you've learned over the years. And
okay.
So with that, I'm going to thank you and I'm going to say goodnight here. This is PK signing off from Third Stream View, where I am here every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern. Station 2 here at Third Stream View. And this is your host, PK, saying good night, everyone, and thanks for joining me, Dean.
Thank you, PK. Thanks for having me. We'll see you again.
Good night, sir.
Good night.